Hello, this is Brother David Denny. I'm back again this week with a short message from God's Word, which I hope will touch you in such a way that you might find yourself praising the Lord and feeling all the richness of warmth of His Spirit, to have Him in your heart and your life, knowing that He will keep you. He will keep your soul safe until that last day, until that last trumpet sounds. Before we get started, let us go to the Lord in prayer and ask His blessings upon this message. Father, we thank You for all the goodness that flows from You, Lord. It is more than we can take in, but help us, teach us to open up our hearts, our ears, our mind, that we might take it in a greater and greater way, and through that we might help others to find their way to You, Lord. We know You want Your house to be full, and this is Your joy to see it full, Lord. And this is what we're asking, is to see You full of joy, and that Your will might be done in our lives and in the lives of those around us. And we ask for the anointing and for Your touch on this message in Jesus' name. Amen. Now this week we're going to talk a little bit about somebody that I think just about everybody has heard the name. It's actually gone down in infamy, so that just about anybody who hears it, they automatically, their ears will perk up and they'll know exactly who you're talking about. And we're talking about Judas Iscariot. And the verses of scripture that we're going to be reading, we're going to start with Psalm 55. And it starts out, I believe, at 12. And it says, "For it was not an enemy that reproached me, then I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me. Then I would have hid myself from him. But it was thou, a man my equal, my guide and mine acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked unto the house of God in company." Now that's a prophetic statement from David about Judas Iscariot. And it shows you just how that this was such an important event that happened here, that it was prophesied in the Bible. And also we see in John 13 in 26, and Jesus was talking about who was to betray him. And he said, Jesus answered, "He it is whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it." When he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And after the sop, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, "That thou doest, do quickly." And this is what we find that the Bible says about it. Of course, it says a lot more. There's other prophecies about Judas. And also, there are other mentions of him in the four Gospels, and even talking about in Acts, and how that his place was removed as an apostle that was supposed to be replaced. There's much controversy about Judas, about who he really was, about his motives behind doing this. If you see portrayals of him in movies, they're all over the place. Some where he's just a horrible person, and others where he just seems to be this soul that just didn't know what was going on, and that he was almost an innocent bystander of his own life, and that he was just drawn into it without actually having any control over it. And I think most of the things that we hear about this is probably just fictionalized and romanticized. And there are different things about him that the Bible says what you can glean from. John says that he was a thief, and that he took from the bag. He carried the money bag and he was a thief. And sometimes you might wonder, what was a thief doing hanging around Jesus? Jesus was the ultimate teacher of morality, of being godlike. He was the connection to God and always would be. So why was Judas interested in hanging around him if he was a thief? And that's a good question. I think, though, that is very revealing what John says about him. That tells us that his primary goals or intention was not about the next world or about the spiritual life. And to be honest with you, a lot of the disciples did not think in that direction either. They were thinking that there was going to be an earthly realm set up, that Jesus was going to start the kingdom on earth anytime. That's why the crowds went wild about him on Palm Sunday, where they put palms in front of him and spread their coats for him to pass over as he came into the city of Jerusalem. They thought that they might see the kingdom of heaven immediately appear. I mean, after all, he had just raised Lazarus from the dead, which showed that his abilities were far surpassed than anybody in the whole world, including Caesar or any of the high priests or anybody. So at that point, you can kind of see why they were leaning towards the physical and just thinking that his earthly kingdom was going to be set up at any moment. And I think this probably is closer to the truth about Judas, that he was not only expecting it, he was trying to force Jesus' hand by turning them over to the high priests and to the Romans, that Jesus would actually have to make a move. You see, a lot of times the high priests started to grab him, or people tried to stone him, and he could just slip out of their hands. He would just move out and discreetly go his own way without them knowing where he went. So I'm sure Judas saw that many times, so he probably was thinking, well, I'll just force the issue here. I'll put him in a situation that he can't run from and he can't get out of, and at that point he will become what we think he is supposed to become, that he's going to set up an earthly kingdom. Also, another thing that might kind of support that is that after he found out what apparently was going to happen to Jesus, that they were going to crucify him, that they beat him savagely, they scourged him, when he found out all these things were going to happen to Jesus, he repented, said, I have betrayed innocent blood, and gave up all the money that he had gotten from them. So at that point, he had remorse. He went out and hung himself. The rope broke, and he burst open on some rocks. And that was the end of Judas. And the Bible said, offenses must come, but woe unto them by whom they come. And talking about Judas, they said it would be better that that man had never been born. So for those who seem to sympathize with Judas, you know, and I kind of wondered about that too, because it seemed like Judas was destined, almost like that predestination some people think about. It seemed like his fate was sealed to where he could do nothing else. And I talked to God about that. And of course, whatever God does, it is good. It is the right thing to do. So you can't question it to the point that you say, well, this isn't right. What happened? But you can try to find out why things happened the way they did. God answers a lot of questions if you ask. And what I got from God, and it sufficed me, when I asked God, what about this situation that seemed like Judas didn't have a choice? God said, well, I had a lot of people to choose from. It wasn't that Judas was destined to be that way. He was one among many that God could have chose to do the same thing. What it was about Judas's character, not only Judas's character, but a lot of people in that same situation, that they would have done the same thing. They would have acted the same way. They would have acted the same way of Judas. They would have tried to force the issue. They would have given Christ up and betrayed him. And this is the thing about it that is serious about it and is a lesson for all of us, is what kind of nature do we have? What kind of nature are we carrying around with us all the time? Now, that's the thing about being a Christian, is you're changing that nature. You're giving it over to God and you're saying, God, I am a sinner. I am lost. I can't do anything good without you. I need you in my life. But if you don't have God in your life, then what kind of spirit are you walking in? What is the nature that you have? What is your character? What is your philosophies on life? And where would they take you? You know, a lot of people are going to find that out real soon, because the mark of the beast is going to be upon us in just a matter of years. I don't know how many years, and nobody does. And that's going to be real revealing to what kind of character you're carrying around. Now, Judas was carrying that character of greed and betrayal, and it surprised him that he had it in him, because he ended up giving the money back. He gave into who he was. But we don't have to do that. God said there's a lot of people out there that fit that mold that Judas was in. There's a lot of people he could have chose. Judas just happened to be the one. But it doesn't mean that the other people he did not choose did not have the same fate. Just because they didn't betray Jesus to the Pharisees does not mean they didn't betray Jesus in their heart. It doesn't mean that they did not betray Jesus in the sense that they say that he is not the Son of God, that he is not worthy to be praised, that he did not suffer and die for us, that God is not who he says he is. So what kind of character are we walking around with? If you don't have God in your life, you don't really know until it comes down to that moment that you get to choose whether you betray Jesus or not. You don't know that. You don't have the ability to know that. It is not within us to know, but it is within us to give our heart to God. So if we do have that character, he can change it. It can become something good that God can make into a being ready for heaven, a being that doesn't betray God, that doesn't betray each other, but that gives their heart to God and follows that which is good from here on. This is what we need to do. You don't know how bad your character is until you are faced with this kind of decision. It's a true saying that you don't really know people until bad times come. You don't really know what they're made of. And we don't know what we are made of. We can't make that determination on our own selves, much less somebody else. And this is what I would have you to do, if you would. Find a place to kneel down. Find a place that you can pour your heart out to God and say, Lord, I don't want to be one of these people that you could have said, I had many that were just like Judas that I could have chosen. I don't want to be one of those people. I want to be somebody that was loving and give their all to God and was faithful to God and faithful to Jesus and not betray him. And he'll be there for you during your hard times. And he will keep you from becoming that person that Judas ended up being. Just give your heart to God. Know that God is worthy of all the faith and trust you can have in him, because he has shown how much he loves you by letting his son die on a cross. And he has the power to change you because he raised him from the dead. If you do that, you'll find your peace within you that Judas never had. This is Brother David Denny saying, God loves you, and I love you, and I hope you have a wonderful life in Christ.